Okay, so the Gemara on Kuf Hei Mabei says that because of Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, Lamaskana, it is better to make Kiddush Friday night, even though that would mean not having wine the next day, as opposed to saying that we would save the wine for the next day because of Kavod Yom Adif. That's the Maskana of the Gemara. So the Gemara says that this is a reflection of the principle of Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. Rashbam says, where is the source for Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita? We derive it from the halacha that you have Hekter Chalavim Ve'Evarim on Shabbos, and even though they're kosher kol alayla, so if you wanted to, you could have waited till Motzei Shabbos. No, Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, and you should burn them on Shabbos. The Gemara then asks, is it true that we really hold on Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita? The halacha is that if a person only has one cup of wine on Motzei Shabbos, so l'chora, if you would say Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, we'd say make Havdal at the proper time. And then when it's time for Lav Malka, so okay, so you wouldn't have a kos. But rather, at least, what does this brisa say? The Gemara later notes this is Beis Shammai's view, but either way, the Gemara says that the halacha is that instead you should not make Havdalah initially, eat your Malav Malka, and then when you bench, you'll bench and make Havdalah at the same time. Even though that's Chavilos Chavilos, here we have no other option, that's the better choice. So that seems to be a refutation of the principle of Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. In other words, seemingly the idea of Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita is do the mitzvah now when it's Shaita, even though that will mean foregoing some type of halachic preference in the future. So in our example, the halachic preference, in the Gemara's initial example, the halachic preference was Kavod Yom Adif. And here we're saying the halachic preference of Birkas HaMazon Malakos. It would be better to make Havdalah now, if you hold Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, even though you won't be able to bench Al HaKos, as opposed to the opposite, waiting. So the Gemara says this is a refutation for Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. And the Gemara says, no, it's not, because here it's different. Really, there is a preference to making Havdalah later. There's a preference to making Havdalah later because we always push off Havdalah. And last week we talked about other manifestations of this principle that we see from this Gemara, seemingly that the preference of making Havdalah later is relevant even when you're already clearly treating it as chol. In this case, because you're having Malav Malka. The other example of that principle we saw last week was the Psak of the Tumas Hadeshen, who says that it is preferable to light Hanukkah candles before Havdalah. That way you're pushing off Havdalah. Another example of the principle was the Gemara earlier in Yak Nehaz, that we say Kiddush before Havdalah. We prefer to push off Havdalah, even though you're already sort of being Soser Kedusha Shabbos by making the Kedusha Yantif. So that's what the Gemara concludes, we push off Havdalah. So normally the principle is Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, but the exception to that principle would be this case where you are delaying Havdalah, because there's an inyan to delay Havdalah. Again, we talked about last week, that doesn't mean that you should delay Havdalah when you're already going to start full-fledged, there's no reason to delay Havdalah and you're already full-fledged treating it as chol. That's a different story. At one point, we're going to hopefully get back to the question of being mati or malacha without Havdalah, but we'll leave that aside for the time being.
Havdalah is such a chashava inyan that it would even override not eating before Havdalah?
Yes, that's what the Gemara concludes. Now, that might only be true if you hold Birkas HaMazon to Unakos. So that's a sugya that I hope to get to in a couple of minutes. But certainly if you hold Birkas HaMazon to Unakos, then that is true. Whether we would say that, if we assume halacha l'maisa, that, and there's also a question, how do we paskin? But let's assume for a moment that we paskin that birkas hamazon is not to una kos. It's just a hider. So then it's a machlokes rishonim, whether you would still say this or not. Mm-hmm. In other words, would we say it's only when you're not doing a obligatory mitzvah that we matir eating before Havdalah? In other words, this din is only true because of Birkas HaMazon to Una Kos, but if you held that it's not to Una Kos, it's just a hider, then we would say make Havdalah and bench without a Kos. That seems to be the view of Tosfos. But Rashbam sounds a little bit like he argues, and the Beis Yosef quotes a machlokas about this. So we'll get back to that in the next sugya. Be'ezras Hashem. So, but now let's focus on our sugya, and what I really wanted to talk about is the question of the gader of chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. What does that mean? And specifically, I'd like to consider, how does it relate to other principles in halacha? Maybe we'll start with the distinction between chaviva mitzvah b'shaita versus zrizin makdim and lemitzvos. Are they the same principle? Are they different? So, to better answer this question, let's consider a very interesting Trumas Hadashin. It's a very famous shaila, comes up almost every month. The Trumas Hadashin was asked the following shaila: is it better to say Kiddush Levana at the first opportunity, or is it better to wait until Motzei Shabbos? Because it is better, it's preferable, to say Kiddush Levana when you're Mivusam, which when everybody's dressed nicely and clean after Shabbos. So there is a shaila. The shaila basically is, do we make Kiddush Levana immediately, or do we wait in order to do it in a better way? So the Gemara, the Trumas Hadashin's conclusion is that it depends. If you think that by waiting you might miss it, for example, it's closer towards the middle of the month, and if you wait till Motzei Shabbos, well, Motzei Shabbos might be cloudy, and then you might miss it altogether. So then you should say it immediately. Don't risk missing the mitzvah entirely. But if it's reasonable to assume that you will not miss it, let's say, for example, you check the weather forecast, or it's in Eretz Yisrael in the summer where it's not likely to be cloudy, or it's going to be, you know, Motzei Shabbos will be the sixth of the month, the seventh of the month. There's still ample time to reasonably assume that you'll be able to make it. Then it's better to wait till Motzei Shabbos. And how does he know that? How does he know you should delay in order to fulfill the mitzvah in a more preferable way? So he derives it from a sugya in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos more or less says, it's a sugya about Yibum and Chalitza, and the way he reads the Gemara in Yevamos, it's not clear that this is the only way to read the Gemara in Yevamos, but the way he reads the Gemara in Yevamos is like this. The Gemara says that, let's say, the older brother is in Medinas Hayam. The younger brother here is available, but we know that when it comes to Yibam and Chalitza, there's Kedima to the older brother. So the Gemara says we don't wait for him to come back from Medinas Hayam. Rather, we do Havdalah, we do the mitzvah immediately. Now, I'll read you the Gemara in a moment, but the way he understands that Gemara is that it's dafka because we're concerned the older brother that's in Medina Siam isn't going to come back. But if there's no reasonable reason to assume that he's away, but he's not, let's say, in Medina Sayyam. He is in the same Medina, but whatever. He'll come back in a week or two. You know, he went on a trip, on some type of journey, but not to Medina Sayyam. Then we would wait. Then we would wait. And his debt says, "Yikun the Gemara Teda Damai Nakat Tano V'Gado Achiyavu Medina Sayyam Lisni Achiyavu Medina Medina Baratz Yisrael Delo Mashinan Ela Daska Nakat B'Katan Achiyagdil V'Gado Achiyavu Medina Sayyam Lo Mashinan Mishum Deshama Yamas Akatan V'Gado Loyavu Liolam Medina Sayyam V'Tavor Amitzvah L'Kach Lo Mashinan." Even though, in other words, even though the Gemara sort of sounds like it's a Gemara in Yevamos, it sort of sounds the opposite. It sort of sounds like we don't delay the mitzvah to do it in a more preferable way. But the way the Truma Sadeshin reads that Gemara, that's his deal. Why does it say Medina Sayyam Da'afkar Kata Nachiagdil? It's because it's a chashash, he won't come back. So that's the way, that's the lesson he learned from the Gemara in Yevamos. So that's the, so he now applies that to the halach of Kiddush Levana. When the Gemara, again, the Gemara's principle in Yevamos is called Shihui Mitzvah Lo Mashinan. The reason why we don't wait for the Gadol to come back from Medina Sayyam or the Katanachi Yagdils, because Shihui Mitzvah Lo Mashinan. Again, without the Truma Sadeshin, I would have read the Gemara saying Shihui Mitzvah Lo Mashinan means we never wait to do the mitzvah in a preferable way. We always do it immediately in a less preferable way. But the Truma Sadeshin reads that as saying, no, it's only when there's a concern that the mitzvah won't be done in at all that we say Shihui Mitzvah Lo Mashinan. But if there's no reasonable concern that the mitzvah won't be done entirely, then we don't say Shihui Mitzvah Lo Mashinan. Rather, we say delay and do it in a better way. So the application for Kiddush Levana, says the Truma Sadeshin, is you go ahead and you wait till Motzei Shabbos to say Kiddush Levana. So what that means in a practical sense, he says, is, well, depends what time of the month it is. If it's only going to be, if you're going to have several days after Shabbos to make Kiddush Levana, so then you should wait, and if you're not, then you shouldn't wait. And that, by the way, is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tov Chaf Vav Sif Beis. Ein mevarchen al hayareach, ela b'motei Shabbos, kishuhu mevusam uvagadav nayim, haga, v'dafka im lele motei Shabbos hu kodem yud b'chodesh. If motei Shabbos is going to be before the 10th of the month, then you should do this. Az mamtinin ad motei Shabbos. Aval, imu achar kach, ein mamtinin ad motei Shabbos. Shema yu, beis, o gimel, o dalid, ananim, leilo shel ananim, velo yiru halavan av yavor asman. Okay. And then, if you, Rama even adds that, so if you're going to do it by day, you should try to wear nice clothing when you do it. Fine. And another application of this probably is the idea that we wait to say Kiddush Levana till after Tisha B'Av and after Yom HaKippurim, as opposed to doing it earlier. And the Gra on that Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote Chokim, though we'll see later the Gra himself did not follow this psak of the Shulchan Aruch, but the Gra on the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara in Yevamos that we said, and the diuk of the Truma Sadeshin, that it's only when he's Medina Sayyam that we say Shihui Mitzvah Lo Mashinan. Good. Now, we have a question. L'chora, this Truma Sadeshin is against our Gemara. Why? Because our Gemara tells us that Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, better to do the mitzvah immediately, even though that means forgoing some type of preference. In other words, essentially, we have, our Gemara says, Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita, to do the mitzvah immediately. And the way the Truma Sadashen says, no, better to not do the mitzvah immediately in order to be able to do the mitzvah in a preferable way. That's the kash on the Truma Sadashen. It's against our Gemara. So what would the Truma Sadashen respond? So l'chora, the answer is very simple. L'chora, the answer is that it depends if it's one mitzvah or two mitzvahs. What do I mean to say? The case of Kiddush Levana is the same mitzvah. The question is, do I do it now in the less preferable way, or do I wait a couple days till Motzei Shabbos and do it in the more preferable way? In that case, the Truma Sadashen says, we don't apply the principle of Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita is when, maybe he's Medayik from the Lashon HaGemara, B'Shaita, when you're giving up the Shaita, there's two Zmanim. There's the ideal Zman of doing the mitzvah, and then there's the less ideal Zman of doing the mitzvah. So we say, Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita means do the mitzvah in the ideal Zman, even though it means forgoing something else. The principle of the Truma Sadashen is something totally different. It's really one Zman of the mitzvah. When you delay from Wednesday night till Motzai Shabbos, are you doing the mitzvah in a different Zman? No. What are you foregoing? You're foregoing Zrizin Makdim and Lemitzvos, L'chora. And about that, the Truma Sadashen says, well, if all you're doing is foregoing Zrizos, so we will say that doing the mitzvah in a better way trumps Zrizos. So let's say a little better what we're explaining. The distinction we're making is as follows. There is a difference between Zrizin Makdim LeMitzvos, which is relevant when there is one Zman. The question is, are you doing it earlier in the Zman or later in the Zman? Versus, and in that case, we'll say you could do it later to do it better. Versus our Gemara's principle, which is that when there's two Zmanim, we say Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, do the mitzvah in the proper Zman and don't delay to the less preferable Zman, even if that will give you some type of other benefit. Now, for this theory to be correct, we have to show that we're actually talking about two different Zmanim. So does this answer actually work with the examples of the Gemara? So let's think about it. So the first example in the Gemara of Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita is the idea that you should do Hekter Chalavim Ve'Evarim on Shabbos and not delay till the night. Is that really considered two Zmanim or one Zman? Right? Is doing Hekter Chalavim Ve'Evarim on the day the Karban is brought, is that just as opposed to waiting till the nighttime, is that just an issue of Zrizin Makdim and LeMitzvos? Or is it do the mitzvah in the proper Zman as opposed to pushing it off to a different Zman, which is less ideal? So I think a case could be made that that is indeed the case. That even though when it comes to Karbanos, it is true that Laila Holech Achar Hayom, and therefore you're allowed to do Haktaras Emurim Balaila, but that is a secondary Zman. Laila is not just a Hemshech. The difference between, let's say, doing Haktaras Emurim at 11 a.m. versus 4 p.m., even though it's 5 hours apart, is not the same thing as 4 p.m. versus 9 p.m. 4 p.m. versus 9 p.m. is a different Zman. 11 a.m. versus 4 p.m. is just a question of zerizos. What about the second example of waiting till Kiddush till the next day? So that might depend on the question that we discussed last week, which is Kiddush by day, is it Tashlumin or is it a Hemshech of the Zman? We saw that perhaps that's a Machlokas Rishonim. Certainly, if you hold that Kiddush by day is Tashlumin, so then this would our Kiddush to be Miyashiv the Trumas Hadeshen makes perfect sense. Meaning to say, you do not push a mitzvah to the secondary Zman, certainly not to Tashlumin, in order to get some type of other benefit. L'chora, even if it's not Tashlumin, Kiddush Bayom is a secondary Zman, even if it's not Tashlumin. So far we're good. So far our Kiddush to be Miyashev, the Trumas Hadeshen, works very nicely. But there's a kasha on it. What's the kasha on it? The kasha on it is another, were it not for the fact that we like to delay Havdalah, like we said already, the Gemara says that Shihui Mitzvah Lo Mashinan would have told us make Havdalah first, even though that meant forgoing Birkas HaMazon Alakos. Right? So it's a question of making Havdalah now or making Havdalah in 25 minutes later, you know, after you ate your Melav Malka. Is that really a different Zman? Is that really a different Zman? It's the same. It's Mosei Shabbos. It's a question of making Havdalah at 10 o'clock or 10:30, right? That's the same Zman. And yet, were it not for the fact that we like to delay Havdalah, we would see that as a application of Shiri Mitzvah Lo Mashinan. And that seemingly refutes our thesis that Shihui Mitzvah Lo Mashinan is only relevant with respect to two different Zmanim. But I would like to suggest the following answer. The answer is that it is like two different Zmanim. How do I know that? It's not two different Zmanim in terms of the fact that it's, you know, just 20 minutes later. It's two different Zmanim because you ate already. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara about Tam Mavdil or Tam Eino Mavdil. And even if you conclude that Tam Mavdil and this Brisa that says make Birkas HaMazon make Havdalah after Birkas HaMazon is going like the opinion of Tam Mavdil, but halachically speaking, it's like a new Zman. It's like a secondary time to do it because the proper time to make Havdalah is before you eat. So making Havdalah after you eat is making Havdalah in a secondary time. And therefore, even if you could still do it, because Tam Mavdil, but still, it's making it in the secondary Zman. And whenever it comes to the question of making something during the secondary Zman, then we always apply the principle according to the Trumas Hadeshen of Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. And therefore, were it not for the fact that we like delaying Havdalah, we would have said make Havdalah first and then eat Melav Malka without a kos. So that is a explanation of the view of the Trumas Hadeshen and how the Trumas Hadeshen is consistent with our Gemara. It's not a stira to our Gemara.
On Mosei Shabbos, I mean, for Kiddush Levana, I mean.
Yes.
The idea of Kiddush Levana is Yumakpil Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. So it would seem to me that even though it's the same month, to greet the king when he first shows up is different from waiting around to greet him with nice clothes on.
So you're I understand the hargasha behind you, but the halachos do not support that idea. In other words, it's not two different zmanim. All you're doing is forgoing zrizos, just like Lemashal, you know, saying it at 8 o'clock versus saying it at 10 o'clock is just forgoing Zrizos, 10 p.m. versus 8 p.m., right? It's not, for us, for this, what we're arguing is that to apply Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, it has to be a different Shah. It has to be a different, halachically, a secondary Zman HaMitzvah. And doing it the ninth of the month versus the eighth of the month is not a secondary time. So I understand what you're saying, and it's a nice idea, but I don't think there's a halachic basis for that distinction that I know of. Now, the Shlus Yaakov asks a kasha on this Truma Sadeshen. Again, we asked a different kasha. We asked a stira from Truma Sadeshen from Argamar, Psachim, Kofhei. But the Shlus Yaakov asks a different shaila on the Truma Sadeshen from another Gemara in Yivamos, actually, where we apply the principle of Shiri Mitzvah Mashinan. The Gemara in Mem Zayinim at base says like this. If a ger is ready to convert, he was Mekabel, Mitzvos, so malano somiad, we don't delay. My time, shirei mitzvah lo mashinan. Okay. Now, over here, there's no concern you're going to lose your opportunity, right? If you wait till tomorrow, you know, there's no reason to suspect the ger is going to die, right? The malal is going to die. You're not going to be able to do the mitzvah. There's no reason to be concerned. And nevertheless, we apply the principle of Shiri Mitzvah Lomashina. Now, that's irrelevant according to the Truma Sadeshen. According to the Truma Sadeshen, the principle of Shiri Mitzvah Lomashina is only relevant when there's a tzad, you're going to miss the Zman entirely.
Isn't that when there's something you want to do not in a nicer way later on? What would be the advantage
good,
of delaying
that? Exactly. So I think that is correct. And that's what the Truma Sadeshen could respond. I agree with you. In other words, the only time when there's no benefit of delaying, then of course you should do it immediately. And delaying would be inappropriate. And that also could be called shihui mitzvah lo mashinan, or as reason makdim and lemitzvos. The only time we say that you shouldn't delay unless there's a chance you're going to miss it is when you're foregoing something. Here you're not foregoing anything, so it's different. So yes. Now the Shlus Yaakov is saying, well, you know, the word should have shiri mitzvah lo mashinan should have one meaning or the other, but the Shlus Yaakov is saying that that's not the case. The principle of Shiri Lo Mashinan means one thing in a place where you're concerned you're going to lose your chance, and it means something slightly different when there's no reason to delay. So I alluded to before the fact that the Gra disagrees with this Truma Sadeshen. So he doesn't say anything on the Shulchan Aruch, but in Maaser Rav, Simen Kuf Nun Tes, he writes, Kiddush Levana Ein Machmitzin HaMitzvah. It's interesting, he uses this principle. A different formulation. And machmitzin mitzvah ad shiva achar hamoled. So first of all, don't wait till the seventh. Oh, ad motzei Shabbos, and don't wait till motzei Shabbos. Rak tekef achar shlosha yamim me hamoled. As soon as it's 3 days, the first opportunity to say kiddush levana mekachin. Lachen mekachin kodem tisha b'av kol yom kippurim. Also against the ruling of the Ramah, says you wait till after tisha b'av, wait till after yom kippur. No. We don't, in machmitzin es mitzvah, you do it at the first opportunity, even if you're forgoing certain things. That's the minhag in our yeshiva, we do this. So that's the psak of the Gaon. Now, first of all, I think a little bit, so the Gaon is passing against the Truma Sadeshen. Might be, I don't want to go into it entirely because it's a little bit of a to fully appreciate this raya, a little bit of a cheshbon, but I think the gra is l'shitaso. Very briefly, the Rosh paskins in Hilchos Bechoros, by Pidyon HaBen, that you shouldn't be me'acher the mitzvah, and you should do it immediately, and the Shulchan Aruch paskens this way as well. Simin Shinhein Yordei Sifyud Aleph Lo Yishar Mitzvah. And if you look at the Gaon, he quotes a Gemara in Yevamos Mem Zayin of Shihui Mitzvah Lo Mashinan. In other words, the Vilna Gaon learned the principle of Shihui Mitzvah Lo Mashinan, like the Shvus Yankif, not like the Truma Sadeshen. That it's a principle that applies regardless of whether there's a concern you will lose out on the chance to do the mitzvah. Shuri mitzvah l'mashinan says you do the mitzvah immediately, even when it's the less preferable way to do it, and even when there's no concern you're going to lose your chance to do the mitzvah. There might be a slight difference, but correct that at first glance it seems that the difference isn't as stark. Now, are there any Rishonim who hold like this Shvus Yaakov / Vilna Gaon? Right, we already mentioned the Truma Sadeshin disagrees. So there's a Sefer Hasidim that also sounds this way. I saw that this is quoted by, I think, the Chayadim. He writes, Ksiv, Pasuk in Tehillim, Chashti velo hismamati lishmor mitzvah secha, lo yaakev adam et ha-mitzvah ba'avur, ze she'amra Torah, ze keli ve'anvehu. Hisna lefana b'mitzvah, uskigo talasna v'sefer Torah na, shelo yomer adam, kemen she'eshkli talas liknos, Amtin Achi Yavali De Talas Yafim Od, O Yikna Miyad Talas Havu Pijan Yafko Kach, etc., etc. In other words, he says, look, let's say a person has a choice. They could do a mitzvah immediately, but forego Hidr Mitzvah, or they could wait and chop Hidr Mitzvah. And the Sefer Chassidim says, do it right away. Lo Ya'akev. Seemingly, even when there's no concern that you're going to miss it entirely, so the Pashup Shat, maybe you could be Docha, the Pashup Shat is that the Sefer Chassidim disagrees with the Truma Sadashen and would say that you should do the mitzvah immediately like we saw the Pesach of the Vilna Gaon. It's also, this is a little bit unclear, but the Magen Avraham sounds this way also. How do I know that the Magen Avraham? So it's the Magen Avraham in Simen Chaf Hev or Chaim. We know that the halacha is that we put on our talis first before our tefillin because of Ma'alin Bakodesh. And the question is, what's the halacha? If a person has their tefillin ready, they don't have their talis for some reason. Let's say somebody borrowed their talis. They're going to return with the talis shortly. So should you wait and get your talis back and then put on your tefillin? Or no, put on your tefillin first, and then when you get your talis, so you'll put on your talis. So the Rama writes, Mihu, im tefillin mizumanim biado, ve'ein lo tzitzis, ein sarech lahamtin ala tzitzis, ala minyach tefillin, u'kshem evin lo talis, oh me'atfo, so do it immediately. Don't bother waiting. Even though you're going to forego this idea of Ma'alin Bakodesh. Now, this din in and of itself isn't a stira to the Truma Sadeshen, which the Rama also paskins like, because maybe I'll just say that it's Ma'alin Bakodesh is a vart when you have both mizumanim, so then you do it Ma'alin Bakodesh. But here, where you don't have the talis available, there's no reason not to put on a tefillin, right? But that's not the way the Magen Avraham reads it. The Magen Avraham writes like this. He quotes the Gemara in Yevamos Lamites, Shiri Mitzvah Lo Mashinan. Afal Pishi Yasa Harkach Mitzvah Yosem and Mavchar. Now, just like we don't wait to do the mitzvah of Yibum in a better way, rather we do it immediately with the younger brother, because it's Shiri Mitzvah Lo Mashinan. Afal Pishi Yasa Lo Mashiasa Harkach Mitzvah Yosem and Mavchar. And he quotes the Yalkut that says this by Chaviv Mitzvah Shaita Menachos. So, what do you see from this Magen Avraham? It's even the Magen Avraham, a fascinating thing. The Magen Avraham says that, now I don't know how he reconciles this with the, in other words, why it's not a stira in the Ramah, according to the way the Magen Avraham is learning the Ramah. But the way the Magen Avraham reads it is that the Gemara in Yevamos, against the Truma Sadeshen, it's like the Shvus Yankov, like the Gra, like the Sefer Chassidim, the Yesod of the Gemara in Yevamos is do a mitzvah immediately, even if it's the less preferable way to do it, and don't wait for the better way to do it. Shihui mitzvah lo mashinan means do it immediately, even at some cost. as opposed to the Trumas Hadashin that says, no, wait for the better way to do it, unless there's a concern you're going to miss out entirely. That's the way the Gemara, that's the way the Magen Avraham reads the Gemara Nivamos, Lamites, and that's the way he even understands the Ramah, and that's why he thinks that you should put on the tefillin and not wait for the talus, even though the better way is to put on the talus first, but shiur mitzvah lo mashinat. So it almost sounds like the Magen Avraham thinks against the Trumas Hadashin, though again, he doesn't say anything, disagree at in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh with the Trumas Hadashin. So I don't know how the Magen Avraham would reconcile the Piskei HaRamah, the way he understands the Ramah. But one way or the other, it sounds a little bit like Magen Avraham is also more nota towards the Mahalich of the Sefer Chassidim, the Gra, the Shlis Yankif, and the like. So that is, there's a lot of other places where you see the poskim done about this. I'll just mention one more, which is a very famous psak, the psak of the Radvaz in Chelak Aleph Simen Yud Gimel, which is another possible manifestation of this question. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Radvaz, Lahalacha, I believe, though he notes that it's not so pashut that the Chayadam clears about it. The question that the Radvaz was asked was like this. Somebody has a day out of jail. He's in jail, and one day a year he's allowed to leave. So the Radvaz was asked, you know, when should you take it? Maybe you should wait till, save it up for Yom Kippur, so you go to Shul for Yom Kippur. Maybe you should wait till Purim, because there's a big mile of Purim to daven with, to hear the Megillah with a minion, because of Pesumi Nisa. The Shoel took for granted that, you know, you should find the best day and save up your get out of jail free card for the day that's the best day. And the Shoel Shaila was clear, you know, which day is the best day? So the Radvaz tells him, no, do it immediately, tomorrow. Just go to Shoel. Hi, it's a Tuesday. Okay, maybe you should at least wait till Thursday. No, we don't wait. Lo yachmitz ha-mitzvah. Tekef, you should do it. Right? Lo yachmitz ha-mitzvah. So it's a fascinating psak, which also doesn't sound much like the Trumas Hadashin. Now, it's not 100% of a stira with the Trumas Hadashin. Why? Because the Trumas Hadashin is a shaila of the same mitzvah, just being able to do it better. And maybe the Radvaz's shaila is, you know, the mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur is going to be the same every day of the week. It's just chopping a different mitzvah. So could be it's not a stira, but it certainly the pashtus is it's the opposite mahalich. The Radvaz's mahalich is, well, yachmat mitzvah. You have a chance to do a mitzvah. You do it immediately. You don't make any cheshbonos what you're forgoing. And when you forgo whatever you forgo, so okay, at that point you're an onus. Don't think about it. As opposed to the general mahalich of the Trumas Hadashin, who is very different. His mahalich is that we make a cheshbon and we think, you know, what's going to be the best way to do things. And there'll be times where we'll say, forgo the immediate opportunity in order to do it better. Now, does anyone argue with this Radvaz explicitly? So there are those who do. The most famous bar plugged of this Radvaz is the Chacham Tzvi, Simen Kuf Vav. And he brings a raya from a Gemara in Menachos that he thinks is against the Radvaz, explicitly against the Radvaz. We'll talk about how the Radvaz might be Miyashev, but what's the Gemara in Menachos? Gemara in Menachos has the following shaila. You have a limited number of animals, and your shaila is tmidim de lemachar umusafim de haidna. So I have a shaila. I have one more sheep left. I could use it to bring the carbon musaf of today, or I could save it for the carbon tamid of tomorrow. So.
What about
question
the carbon?
Is, do we prefer tamid or do we prefer makudish? I'm sorry?
Before I get tomorrow, what about
you
the
have today's carbon? I have two sheep left, right?
Oh, you have two sheep left. Okay.
So I'm going to have today's tamid. Now, so, the question is, do I also bring today's musaf, at least part of it, or do I save it for tomorrow's tamid?
Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara has that clear. Do we say tzmidim adifi shekein tadir? Do we say musafim adifi dehalim akudish? And there's a whole shaila. But the Gemara implies that, now, if you hold like the Radvaz, so it's pasha what the answer is, right? Do today's musaf, and what will be tomorrow will be, right? There's nothing, no shaila. Why? What are you making a cheshvan? Why is it even a shaila? Shaila of tadir versus makudish isn't a shaila at all if you learn like the Radvaz. So the Gemara indicates that no, that it would be better to, you know, if it turns out, let's say, that tadir is more powerful than makudish, then wait. Whereas according to the Radvaz, that doesn't make any sense. That's his kasha. For now, we won't see how there might be an answer for the Radvaz, but that's his kasha. I won't right now answer that question. I'll just mention that there are other Gemaras that could be brought that l'chora support the Radvaz. One of them is a Gemara in Moed Katan. It's an interesting shaila. The Gemara talks about Rabbi Yochanan ben Asmuye and Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim, who were visiting Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And they did a certain thing that Rav Shimon bar Yochai was very impressed by them. So they were leaving town, and Rav Shimon bar Yochai told the son, you should run after them and get a bracha by them, because these are anashim shel tzurahim. Go chaf a bracha. You see, agav, the idea of getting a bracha from tzaddikim that the Gemara takes for granted. And not only that, but even though, you know, Rav Shimon bar Yochai was no slouch himself, he still thought that his son would benefit from getting a bracha from these tzaddikim. Anyway, so he ran after these tzaddikim, and when he caught up with them, they were raising the following stira and psukim. Ramu kray adade ksiv, Pelas magal raglecha v'chol derachecha yikonu. The ksiv orachayim ben Pelas. So lo kasha kan b'mitzvah she'esha la'asos ha'idecherim, kan b'mitzvah she'esha la'asos ha'idecherim. So the way Rashi reads the Gemara, and it could be that the Radvaz, the Chacham Tzvi could learn like the Marsha's reading. That's how he could get out of it. But at least the way Rashi reads the Gemara is like this. There's a stira, the following stira. One pasuk says, "Pelas magal raglecha v'chol derachecha yikonu," which implies that you should choose between mitzvos and do the mitzvah that's bigger and not the smaller, even though the smaller one is lefanecha. And then it says, "Orchaim pen tefales," which implies you should do the mitzvah immediately that's available to you, even though it's smaller. So the Gemara says it depends. It's efshe la'asos ha'idei acherim. In other words, if the immediate mitzvah could be done by others, so then you could wait to do the bigger one. But if there's no one else to do the immediate mitzvah, the smaller mitzvah, then you should do the small mitzvah immediately, even though it means forgoing the bigger mitzvah, seemingly the opposite of the Gemara Menachos. So the Chacham Sadim writes, you here have a raya for the opinion of the Radvaz. The Nishma Sadim, he says, well, maybe the Chacham Tzvi will learn like the Marsha's reading of that Gemara in Moed Katan. So anyway, there's much more to say on this topic, but I do want to see some other things. We see here several places in which we seem to have a machlokas, different perspectives, on the basic question of whether it's best to do a mitzvah immediately in the less preferable way, or whether it's better to delay the mitzvah and do it in the more preferable way. The one nafkamina was Kiddush Levana, which we saw was a machlokas between the Gra and the Terumas HaDeshen, and another variation of the question, though it's not identical, was the question of the Radvaz versus the Chacham Tzvi. And we had Rais Lakan Ulakan, and specifically we declared whether we should see the principle of our Gemara, Chaviv Mitzvah Shait, is fundamentally different than the mitzvah of Zuzin Makdim and Mitzvos. Chaviv Mitzvah Shait is only relevant when there's two Zmanim. Or no, these principles, these ideas are really very similar to each other, two different ways of saying the same thing. Okay, let's turn to the next Gemara. So it's really the bottom of this Gemara, Kuf Hei Mabez, going on to the Kuf Av Madalev. So the Gemara quotes this statement, this halacha, that when you have only one cup of wine on Motzei Shabbos, better to eat Lava Malka first and then say Kiddush, say Havdalah and Birkas Hamazon on the same coast. The Gemara says we could derive eight halachos from this din. So what are they? So number one, Shema Mina Bracha Teuna Kos. We see from here that Birkas Hamazon needs a kos. Why? Because if Birkas HaMazon didn't need a kos, so then presumably we would say, so do Havdalah immediately and bench without a kos, right? We won't tell you to eat Kodim Havdalah, which is normally something that is Aser. Now, is that the halacha, that Birkas HaMazon tuna kos? That's number one. It's question number one. Question number two is, assuming that we do say Birkas HaMazon Tuna Kos, as this Gemara seems to conclude, the question is that even biyachid? So let's talk about question number two first. The Tosfos is medayik, that our Gemara indicates that if you hold Birkas HaMazon Tuna Kos, it's even biyachid. Why? There doesn't seem to be anybody else over here. It doesn't mention that there are three people that are going to be eating together. And moreover, even if there were three people, so they don't have to be mitzayif or malav malka, let them eat separately. And then it won't need a kos, and then you'll be able to make Havdalah first. And the Lashon of the Gemara anyway sounds like it's one person, right? The Braisa says, Hanichnas leveso b'motzei Shabbos. It doesn't say Nechnasim leveso. So, Tosfos, Rishonim, Ardocha, some of these rayas, maybe it's Nechnas is the Baal HaBayis, but there are other people around. But Tosfos, and those other Rishonim, do note that the simple reading of this Gemara is that if you hold Birkas HaMazon to Una Kos, it's even B'Yachid. That is the simple reading of this Gemara. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say no. They say no. So really, halacha l'maaseh, then we have two questions. Question number one is, do we paskin Birkas HaMazon Tuna Kos? And question number two is that if it does, is it even b'yachidus? So the Rambam, Perek Zayin, halacha tesvav, seems... Sorry, let me just go back. If you hold... let me do it this way. Fine. So the Rambam, Hilchos Brachos, Perek Zayin, Halacha Tesvav, seems to paskin that Birkas HaMazon is not Teuna Kos. He writes, Af al pi she'en Birkas HaMazon Tzricha Yayin, in Birkas HaYayin Kemenag Shamro. So then he tells you all the halachos. It has to be in a kos, and it shouldn't be pagum, etc., etc. But the Rambam says it doesn't need a kos. That's a psak of the Rambam. Birkas HaMazon does not need a kos. So where does he get it from? What about our Gemara? So the Beis Yosef says, well, he thinks he gets it from the Gemara later on in Arvei Pesachim, Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, because the Gemara says that you make Birkas HaMazon on the third cup of wine at the Leila Seder. The Gemara says, oh, you see from here Birkas HaMazon to a kos. And the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. Really, you don't need a kos. But once we need arba koses anyway, so kochad v'chad navid be mitzvah. which means that the conclusion of the Gemara is Birkas HaMazon Ein Tu Nekos. That's number one. So he has a raya from the Gemara Daf Kof Yud Zayin. Number two is what the Ran says, which is that, yeah, in Achanami, and the Ran says it based off of Yerushalmi maybe, that you could prove from here that it's mitzvah min ha-muvchar to do Birkas HaMazon al ha-kos. And he actually thinks, the Ran thinks, that that's what our Gemara means. Our Gemara means that it's only a mitzvah min ha-muvchar to use a kos. Now, if that's true, then you see an interesting chiddush, which is even though it's only mitzvah min ha-muvchar to do Birkas HaMazon al ha-kos, still, it's mutter to eat before Avdallah in order to be able to fulfill that mitzvah min ha-muvchar. That's what the Beis Yosef points out. And he notes that's what Rabbeinu Manoach writes explicitly. So we have here a machlokas rishonim. The Rashba writes that we also paskin Birkas HaMazon ein etu nekos, and the Beis Yosef thinks that's the psak of the Rif. Maybe we don't paskin like this Brisa, like the Gemara says later. It's Beis Shammai's opinion. We'll get there. So Alach Lamaisa, we have machlokas rishonim. What do we paskin? So Shulchan Aruch, and again Siman Kuf Pei Beis Yosef Aleph quotes machlokas. Yesh omrim shebirkas hamazon tu nekos afilu biyachid. That's the view, simplest reading of our Gemara, as Tosis points out. V'tzach lachzor alav v'lo yochal im ein lo kos levarich alav. How far is that obligation? Don't eat unless you get a kos. It's a mitzvah. Imhu mitzapeh v'ashash sheyia lo. Now, it doesn't mean you have to wait forever. But if you anticipate, like in an hour from now, you'll get some wine, don't eat now, wait for an hour. Afilu imtzarach lavorz man achila achas, even missing a meal. Lefizem shnaim ochlem yachad tzarach lakachas kol echad kos lebirkas hamazon. Now, if you hold like this view, so let's say you have two people eating together, since there's no tzir for zimun, they both need their own cup. You'd need two cups of wine. V'yesham im sheinu tunakos. Right, there are those who say like the Rambam, the Rashba doesn't need a kos. Although the Shlosha, sorry, the Yesh Omer is not that way. The Yesh Omer doesn't need a kos by one, but it does need by three. The Yesh Omerim, the third Yesh Omerim, is she'ena tuna kos klal afilu b'shlosha. But the Rama adds, mikol makom mitzvah nemuvcha levarach al kos, as the Ran says from our Gemara. So Alachol Ma'ay said we paskin. So I'm sorry, Adam, I don't know how to start in paskin, but you could tell us. But the Mishnah Berurah says that the Menaga Olam is to be makel for Yachid, certainly. And not only that, but he writes, the Menaga Olam lahakal bezeh kedeya shlishis, that even by three people you don't need a kos. You don't have to mechazir achal a kos. But it's mitzvah min ha-muvchar levarich al ha-kos when it's beziman. Dafka beziman. Shlosha of a l'inyan yachid mekilim. So, despite the evidence in the Gemara, I know very few people. I only know one person who's makbid to do Birkas HaMazon al ha-kos biyachid, and even he doesn't do it anymore. But he stopped for health reasons. So the standard Ashkenazi practice is that we don't think you need to do it al ha-kos, but when you're having a zimun, it's a mitzvah min ha-muvchar to do it al ha-kos. Adam, what does Faradim do?
I think I saw that since Shulchan Aruch, meaning the third shita was the last one he quoted, that's the one he holds like he really thinks mm-hmm. it's halacha, because it's the last one he said. But I think he says mitzvah min ha-muvchar also.
So basically, also like the Rama. So Faradim and Ashkenazim both have the same minyan, which is it's a mitzvah min ha-muvchar when you have three people to do it al ha-kos. Okay. So now that was the Shema Minah number one. Then the Gemara says, Shema Minah, Koshal Bracha Tzarech Shir. How do I know? Because if Koshal Bracha didn't need a Shir, so then I'll just divide it into two, and I'll be able to make Havdalah on one and make Birkas HaMazon on the other. It must be that Koshal Bracha Tzarech Shir. So what's the Shir? So the Rashbam says it's a revius. So the kos needs to be machzik a revius. If you have a kos that's machzik less than a revius, or you have a kos that is machzik a revius, but you put in it less than a revius of wine, then that is not a kos shel bracha. A revius means a revius of a lug, which we say is a beya and a half. So how much is that? Chaim Na says it's 3 ounces, 86 milliliters. So there's evidence based off of the Rambam that's even less, it's 75 milliliters. Rav Moshe has a shear of 3.3 ounces, so a little more than Rav Chaim Na. The most machmir view is the Chazon Ish, based off of the theory that our bayim are half the size of the original Beitim. He assumes that therefore that would be double, so 75 times 2 is 150 milliliters or 5.3 ounces. Anyway, so there are different shitos. How much is a revius? Okay, so that's, you need a revius. Now then the Gemara says the next Shmamina is what? Shmamina mevarach tzar shiyato. It's not enough. If you didn't need to do te'ima, so then we'd have a better solution, right? Which is just make do havdalah al hakos, but don't drink anything. And then you'll do birkas hamazon al hakos and you'll drink. So how much do you have to drink? So Tosfos writes that the shear is mali lugmav. What is the rationale of mali lugmav? So the Rishonim explain that's the shear that's miyashiv daito shel hashosa. Now, how big is mali lugmav? So mali lugmav will depend on the size of the person, right? How big is he? It could vary. For a very big person, it'll be more. And for a smaller person, it will be less. L'chola pachos, the poskim say, it's ruba shel revius. So let's say that means 38 milliliters. But someone who is a big mouthed, I'm leaning to big mouth, right? So then it would be a little bit larger. Now, I saw in one of the Sfarim, they say for most people, it's about 50 to 55 milliliters. I don't know, around 2 ounces or so. And they also point out that it's never going to be more than a revius. So if we assume that mikra din a revius is 75 milliliters, so it'll never be more than that. Now, let's say the Mekadesh doesn't drink a mali lugmav, right? You're at somebody's house, and so we'll talk about in a moment that other people could be mitzdarif according to many positions. But let's say he doesn't even pass it around. He makes kiddush, he takes a sip of wine, and then everybody goes off to wash. Were you yotze kiddush b'diaved? So the pashtus is you were not. That this is ma'akev, like our Gemara indicates. And if you didn't drink a mali lugmav, so then you're not yotze. So if you were mesiach das, then I guess you can make a new bari priyagafen and finish this year. Otherwise, if you weren't mesiach das, sorry. If you were mesiach das, l'chori, you'd have to make kiddush again. Or certainly if you had an akiras makom, you'd have to make kiddush again. However, the Aruch HaShulchan argues that b'di'eved, you're yotze without te'ima. And other achronim bring this down. So like Kaf HaChaim says this, the Or Letzion says this. So maybe it's a suffix. You should get somebody else to be motzi in you in kiddush. Now, what about if the Mekadesh doesn't want to drink so much? He doesn't want to drink a whole mali lugmav. So Rashbam over here already points out that it's no problem for somebody else to drink. In other words, so if the Mekadesh doesn't want to drink a mali lugmav, so somebody else will drink a mali lugmav. That's fine also. What about being mitzdarif, multiple people drinking a mali logmat. So this is actually a machlokas. Could everybody be mitzdarif? And it comes from towards the mali logmat. It comes from a rush over here, Psachim, Perk Yud, Simen Yud Ches. The rush writes, That's what did we say before? What's the idea of mali lugma? That's a shti of hana. So if everybody has a sip, nobody has a mali lugma, there's no shti of hana by anybody. So going to Rosh, then, I've seen this, right? The Makadish drinks a sip. Less than a mali lugmat. And then he pours out, a little cup for everybody there. And each person drinks a sip. Right? Each person gets an ounce. 1 ounce little kiddush cups, which you don't even fill up all the way. Everybody gets a 3/4 of an ounce. So it turns out sachakol, they drank a revius, maybe. But no person drank a mali lugmat. So the Rosh says you're not yotzei b'diavad. You'd have to make kiddush again, assuming that it's ma'akev. Like we saw, is the pashtas. However, there's a ritva in Erevin. He quotes that Tosfos. He quotes a Tosfos. I don't know if we have this Tosfos anywhere. That your yatsu de kula mitzdarfin lamale logmav. He writes that the ra'ah was mesupik, but Tosfos says there's a tziruf. So how do we paskin? So the Mishnah Bura simin. Reish Ayin Aleph, Sif Katan Ayin Gimel brings down a machlokas about this point, and he concludes with Diavet Hiskimu Harbe Achonim Dafil Shtias Kol Mesuma Mestarfa Mamali Logmav Ach Shelo Yishad Shtias Al Yedei Shtias Kulam Yoser Mechdei Achilas Pras. So Diavet you're Yotze in that case, you don't have to make it again. Especially you could throw in the shitas that we said before that there are those some Rishonim who sound like b'diavad, even t'ima koldehu, less than hamali lukmav, you're also yotzei. So l'maisa b'diavad, if a person's in that situation, they're a guest at somebody's house, the Makadesh had a sip, all the other people had a sip, you're yotzei. I remember I was very impressed. I was once at somebody's house where the Makadesh had a sip. This happened. And he also gave out to everybody little sips. And one of the guests sort of motioned to the Mekadesh to his cup, which still had plenty of wine in it because he only gave everybody a little sip. And could he have? And he said yes. And then he drank the whole cup or whatever. He drank a shir, he drank a mali lugmav. And so I was very impressed at the time. I remember that how this guy was, willing to sort of make a fool of himself to make sure that he was Yotze Kiddush. I don't think the Makadish was offended. I just he thought it was weird. He probably didn't realize that he had to drink a Mali Lugmav, so he just thought this guy was being a little weird. So it could be that because that guy happened to be my cousin, Zecher Latov. My cousin Gavriel Weider, Rabbi Gavriel Weider. So he did that, and by doing that, he made sure everybody was yotze the mitzvah.
What if you're not sure if the person drank mali lugmav?
So again, but you have it, you're yotze if everybody drank a mali lugmav, right? Okay. Some even say, but you have it, you're yotze if nobody drank a mali lugmav. Certainly, but you have it, you're yotze the Mishnah Berurah says everybody drank a mali lugmav. So, in that case, it's a fake, right? Maybe mm-hmm. drink a mali lugmav, and even if he didn't, maybe you're yotze with everybody drinking a mali lugmav, and even if, and some even say with nobody drinking a mali lugmav, you're yotze. So, so I don't think you have to make a fool of yourself, or if it would embarrass the person, then you don't have to do anything. But if you could drink more without embarrassing the person, then you can. Sometimes it's easy to take more without embarrassing. Like, let's say there's wine at the table. You don't have to grab his cup, right? he gave you, it's true, he only gave you a little tiny drop of wine, right? He gave you half an ounce of wine. So you put it in your cup and you add the bottle of grape juice and wines at the table, and you add some more and you drink. So if you could get away with that in a way that's comfortable, that's certainly a much better thing to do, right? So that's a good idea. We saw at the beginning of this summer, so I don't want to go over it again, an interesting machlokas rishonim, or even a stir in Rashi, how to understand this idea of mekadesh tzar shiyitom, right? We discussed if there's a difference between kosher bracha and kiddush, so we'll leave that over. So then the next Shema Mina, the Gemara says, is that you can't have a kos pagum, right? That kos pagum is ma'akev. That you need it to be kosheno pagum. Now, the truth is, Rashbam on Koval Medalev, Dimashu Kapid, says that it's not ma'akev. He's medayaged from Lashon the Gemara later on, because the Gemara says that that one of the Amoraim, who was at Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi, Kapid, he was, the question is whether it's the Chatzfer or the Kasa, but everybody agrees, it uses Lashon of Kapid. So the splashon that he's makbid, that it's not the pagum, implies it's not ma'akev. So Rashbam says it's not ma'akev. Tosus asks on that, if it's not ma'akev, then why is it mutter to push off Avdallah for that reason? But apparently that didn't bother Rashbam. It's the same machlokas as we saw earlier by whether you could be medayik from this Gemara that birkas hamazon tuna kos l'chatchila, or it's ma'akev. Anyway, So do we paskin like that Rashbam? So it's interesting because Tosfos writes that he sort of asks on Rashbam, but he writes, Mihu ra'oi Rashbam lismoch alav b'shas adchak. So l'mayis b'shas adchak, you could be mekel if you have no other kos to use a kos pagum. Now, what is a kos pagum? So the classical case of post-kabba, what this Gemara is talking about, is a kos that you drank from. In other words, could you go ahead, let's say in this case, so let's imagine you had more than a revius, but less than two revios. This is the way Tosus originally understood the Gemara. In other words, you had, let's say, 1.6 revios. So you have an option. You make kavdalah. You drink Malei Lugmav, then you leave over a Revius, and then you do Birkas HaMazon on Kos. So why can't you do that? So the answer is because of Kos Pagum. Now, there's an interesting question, which we'll talk about in a moment. Well, then, isn't there a way to avoid the question, like by pouring out the Malei Lugmav into another cup and then leaving it over? Maybe you only have one cup. Some Rishonim even say that if you pour out from the cup and you don't drink, it's still pagum. So we probably do not paskin that way. So that brings up a question that the Rishonim all discuss over here, which is there any way to be misakin a kos pagum, right? And this is a very, very common question. Let's say a person makes kiddush. They drink their malei lugmav on a cup of wine. They don't really want to drink the whole cup. They don't want to drink all revius. Maybe their kos is bigger than a revius. Maybe it's a 6-ounce cup. They don't want to drink 6 ounces of wine. They don't want it to go to waste. So is there any way to be misakein a kos pagum? So that way you could use the remaining wine for a kiddush the next day. So our Gemara doesn't seem to indicate that there's any takana, but the Rush quotes from the Yerushalmi that all you have to do is add a little bit of wine and maybe even add a little bit of water, and that way you could be misakein a kos pagum. And then he clears whether you see a rayos against that. The Marami Rotenberg had a different etzah. The Marami Rotenberg actually said that if you pour the wine back into the bottle, it's going to be niskan, because we'll say kama kama batil. And certainly, if there's rov remaining in the bottle, in other words, I'm going to pour back 3 ounces into my bottle, but my bottle has 4 ounces left, so then it'll be batel. Ram Rottenberg doesn't even require that, it seems, but certainly if you have rov, so then you could do that. Now, you might have objected. You might have said that's a violation of Bittul Isser L'chatchila, but at least the Maharam said this isn't Asr. We're not talking about Isser, so there's no Indian of Bittul Isser L'chatchila. Therefore, you could pour it back. Because both of these takanos are debated, I in the Beis Yosef and Simon Kuf Bei Beis Barichos, won't go into all the details, but because both of the takanos are debated, so the minhag is to try to be yotze yidei shneyan. So what do? We pour some wine from the bottle back into the cup, and then we hop the view of the Rush based off of the Yerushalmi, that's misaking the pagum, and then we pour from the cup back into the bottle, and then we're hopping around the opinion of the Marami Rottenberg that's misaking. And one could be somech on that. So that's what you should do if you have leftover wine in your Kiddush cup. Now, another question that comes up, very lamaisa, that's discussed by the Rishonim, quoted by the Beis Yosef, again, Kuf Pei Beis, also the Rishonim over here to a lesser degree, is we know, as we saw earlier in the Gemara, that even though to be yotze the mitzvah of Kiddush, only the Mekadesh has to drink, but mitzvah namufchar, that everybody drinks, as Rashbam noted. So does everybody have to drink from a kosh eino pagum, or is it okay if other people drink from a kosh pagum? So an example of that, let's imagine everybody has in front of them a kosh pagum. Why? For now, let's forget why that happens. You know, somehow or another it happened that everybody has in front of them a kosh pagum. So this is machlokas rishonim. Is it a din in the kos that the mevarech makes the kiddush on, and therefore if everybody else drinks from a kos pagum, it doesn't matter? Or no, it's dafka, everybody, the if you want the mile of kos shel bracha, then it has to be kos sheino pagum. It's a din in the shoset, not a din in the mevarech. It's basically the machlokas rishonim. We paskin l'chumra on that, and therefore we paskin l'chatchila, everybody should get a kos shel bracha. Everybody should get a kos sheino pagum. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So the following shaila comes up. What about if, so let's say I make kiddush, and I drink from the kos. So now it's a kos pagum, right? And then everybody else drinks from the same kos. So now it turns out that everybody else is drinking from a kos pagum. And we paskin that everybody should drink from a kos sheino pagum. So the Mishnah Berurah says, no, that's going to be okay. Why? Because their drinking is a hamshach of my drinking. Just like if I drink my mali lugma in two sips, right? We don't say, so the second sip is a kos pagum because I drank from a kosher bracha. No, that's not true. It's all one drinking. And not only is it one drinking when one person drinks multiple sips from the same cup, but it's also one drinking when many people drink from the same cup. Okay, so that's a good etza. You could just, the mevarich could drink and then pass around the wine, and everybody will drink from that cup. Okay. What about if, if people don't want to drink from the same cup? That's not so nice looking to them. They don't want to drink from your cup. So the mevarech goes ahead and drinks from his cup. He drinks a malo lugma from his cup. And then he pours into all the different cups and everybody drinks. Are they drinking from a kos pagum? So this I saw as a machlokas among contemporary poskim. Some contemporary poskim say that this is a kos pagum because once it's in a new cup, it's not a hamshach of the original person's cup. That's a kos pagum, and you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. This is what many people do. They say you shouldn't do this. However, I saw that the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah quotes from other poskim, and no, when people do this, and this is a very common practice, it's totally okay, that that their drinking is a hamshach of his drinking, even though it's in a different cup, and it's not a kos pagam. So I think that's what people do. I think that's fine. I think they could follow the lenient view on that question. But if you want to follow the machmir view, so what would the eitzah be? What about if the mevarech pours out from his cup into a different cup and drinks from a different cup? And then the kos would remain eino pagam, and then he could give that out. That lechora is a good solution. It's actually a machlokas, Rishonim also. According to some Rishonim, that wouldn't work. It relates to a sugya in Brachos. The Gemara says in Brachos, more or less, that it's Perek Nun Pasuk Daf Nun Beis Med Aleph, that if a person like spills a little bit onto his hand and then drinks from his hand, that would prevent the kos from being pagum. So lechora, you see from there, that does become pagum unless you drink from the actual kos shel bracha. However, the Rashba argues that's the opinion of Beis Shammai, but Beis Hillel disagrees. According to Beis Hillel, even if you don't drink from the kos, it would be a kos pagum anyway. Lemaisa though, the Shulchan Aruch is paskin v'hakel on that shaila, simin kuf pei beis sif gimel. So if you pour it out without drinking from the cup, then you save it from becoming a kos pagum. Now, if you hold that way, you actually have a challenge in our Gemara, because then why could you prove from here? Why wasn't that a solution? Why couldn't the guy pour out a little bit of wine and drink from the other cup and then make havdalah in the second cup if you assume that he had an extra more? You know, he didn't just have a revius bit mitzumtzum, he had more. And if you think he only had a revius bit mitzumtzum, then you can't prove taimo pagmo. You can't prove that there's a problem with kos pagum, because the reason why he wasn't, why he only made, why he had to be mitzdarif is because he had a revius betzimtzum. So there's answers to that question, but the simple reading of our Gemara actually might support the Rashba, unless you're going to be forced to say he didn't have a second cup. But we don't paskin like that Rashba. We paskin that it doesn't become pagum if you drink from a different cup. So that's the halacha. So those are some of the halachos of kos pagum.
To pour off to another cup and then drink from the original cup and then pass around the second cup for to the
Masulim? Yes, that would look aura. That's a question. What you're saying, would the Rashba, would that solve the problem for the Rashba? Let me look back at the Rashba. No, the Rashba would say that doesn't work. Yesh lo mar debekos shel bracha debekos acher debekos acher of you ishakil minei midi nachshov oso pagum o kemi shemavarech al shiurei kosos. In other words, what's the idea of kos pagum? It's shiurei kosos. It's leftovers, right? And it's not right to drink the leftovers for kos shel bracha. So that's true, not only if I drink, you know, if somebody drank from this cup beforehand, now this is leftovers, but it's also true if you poured out something and now you're drinking from the remainder, that's leftovers. So if you wanted to chop the view of the Rashba, now I don't know if you have to be machmir for the Rashba, but if you wanted to be machmir for the view of the Rashba, I think it would still be shiari kosos. So you won't chop that. If you want to give out the wine for everybody and not have a shail of kos pagum l'chola deos, so either pass around the cup that you drank from, or the better way, the better solution, which is what they do at Rabbi Schechter's house, is that everybody takes some wine before Kiddush in their own cup. They should pick it up, and then they drink afterwards. So then there's no shail at all of kos bagum, because everybody drinks from their own cup of wine, and they're the first to drink from it. So luchola deos. You see, well, we'll get to it next shir, Bezus Hashem, but that actually seems pretty clear from the Gemara in Kuf Vav Amud Aleph that that's the way they used to do it in the times of the Gemara, but at least some of the time. I'll show you. When we get to Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, we'll point that out. And the milah of that system, I'm not saying you have to do it, but the milah of that system is it also avoids hefsek issues. In other words, especially if you have a lot of people around, you know, by the time you distribute all the wine to all the different people and pour it out into little cups, it's sometimes some time, and sometimes people end up talking before they drink, in which case, if it's unrelated, they would have to make a new bar piya gafen. And so really, at least when you have a lot of company, probably the best solution is to have everybody take before, as opposed to trying to divvy it up. But l'maisa, halakha l'maisa, you could divvy it up, as we said. Okay. All right, so maybe we'll stop over here, and Be'ezus Hashem, we will pick up on Wednesday. Pick up on Wednesday. By the way, yeah. All right, we'll leave that for now. I'm sorry?
By the way, what?
Oh, I was just going to talk about the machlokas between Ravashi and the earlier opinion of the Gemara. The Gemara at the end of the Gemara says that according to Ravashi, taimo pagmo v'kosho bracha tzarech shir chada milzahi. So what does that mean? So the way Tosis mean understands, it's not necessarily machlokas. He's just saying that you can't extrapolate from this Gemara, from this story, both Taimo Pagmo and Koshel Bracha Tzricha Shir. Because maybe let's say I could say Taimo, we don't hold this Taimo Pagmo. But since it was exactly Revius, so that's why he couldn't, since, and Koshel Bracha Tzricha Shir and Sarach Te'ima, so the reason why you couldn't split it up is because you don't have enough wine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's not necessarily a machlokas. Ravashi might agree. But the Rashbam thinks that there is a machlokas. The way the Rashbam seems to read the Gemara is that Ravashi has a very interesting shir, which is once it's more than a shir, a very interesting shita, that once it's more than a shir, then we don't say taimo pagma. We only say taimo pagma when it's exactly a shir. And then there's an interesting shaila, if it is a machlokas, who would you paskin like, which is a further machlokas.
Sort of like treating the kos as like a mikvah.
Yeah. Okay. We will stop here and Be'ezras Hashem pick up next time. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.